So anybody who is on social media knows that it's popular these days to be hashtag blessed. If some of you don't know what a hashtag is, you probably know it as a pound sign. But those of us who are younger and use social media know it as a hashtag. It's a way of tagging a post so that other people can search for that and see what you mean by being blessed in your life or whatever else you want to tag. Sometimes people use this hashtag as a way to boast while trying to sound humble. As I searched this week on Twitter and saw different things that were hashtag blessed, I saw a lot of college scholarships and athletic signings. I saw unexpected raises. I saw people post about their wonderful families. Of course, as Christians, we use the term blessed, and maybe we even use the hashtag. We pray that God will bless our family. We attribute our undeserved gifts to God's blessings. We talk about our ministries, our church being blessed. But what does that really mean? How should we understand the blessings of God? For believers, is the blessed life the same as a successful life? Is it the Christian version of a good life? A loving marriage, obedient children, a vibrant ministry, a healthy body, a successful career, trusted friends, financial abundance. If these are the characteristics of a blessed life, then having all of them means that we are extraordinarily blessed. But is that what it really means? To quote the Princess Bride, what is a real blessing to God? Sometimes I think when our life is going so great, we might feel self-sufficient and proud of ourselves. Maybe we get a little bit smug or self-righteous. After all, our hard work is yielding good fruit. Sometimes when things are going really well, we might not feel like we need God as much. It's easy to feel blessed when everything is going our way. But as we know, earthly blessings are temporary. Job's blessings in the Bible disappeared all that one fateful day. And we hear about those kinds of things happening to people still today. Just recently, fires ravaged Sonoma County, totally surprisingly. People lost their homes and everything they had. I have a friend who did a funeral last week for a woman who got hit by a drunk driver. Or, as we hear about all too often, a gunman opens fire on a concert or in a church, and lives are taken and devastated. If we look at blessings like the world does, seeing them that it was when we do good things that we get good things back, how do we make sense of these senseless tragedies? There is no making sense of them on our own. We need to cry out to God in those moments to help us remember that blessings that God gives us are things that can never really be taken away. Every year around Reformation Day, as we just celebrated, we sing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And it closes with these words: "Were they to take our house, goods, honor, child, or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever." And every year as I sing that, I get a little nervous, and I wonder and I pray that if that ever happens to me, that I'll be able to stand firm in my faith. However, I know that there are real and true blessings in times of struggle. When I was in college, I had a really tough time where I went through depression and some other challenges. But yet, in the midst of all of that, I experienced God's blessings like I never had before. While I don't think my trials in themselves were blessings, they were pathways for God's blessings to come to me. In them, I gained a stronger faith than I had ever known and a deeper love than I had ever known. My trials grounded my faith in ways that happiness and abundance never did. At the end of that year, I was actually so deeply thankful to God for that time because it had cleared away things that I thought were making me happy and were real and true in my life, but weren't. And it gave me clear eyes to see what was really important and what real love was. The idea of blessing is obviously comes from the Bible. And if we look at the New Testament, there's 112 references to blessing, bless, or blessed, none of which connect blessing to material prosperity. Consider these passages from Luke chapter 11. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. From Romans chapter 4. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. From James chapter 1. Blessed is the one who remains steadfast under trial. From Revelation. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are those invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And of course, the passages we heard today from Matthew, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are you when others revile you. There's no hint in any of those phrases about wealth or perfect circumstances. On the contrary, blessing is usually connected either with poverty or trial or the spiritual benefits of being joined to faith in Jesus. So what does it really mean to be blessed? According to the Bible, the Greek word used for this is makarios, which means to be fully satisfied. It refers to receiving God's favor regardless of our circumstances. Scripture shows us that blessing is anything God gives us that makes us fully satisfied in him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus. Anything that helps us loosen our grip on the things of the world and hold more tightly to God. And often it's our struggles and trials, our disappointments, and our unfulfilled hopes that best enable us to cling to God. Pain and loss do transform us, and sometimes they unravel us, but they also push us to a deeper life in God than we ever thought possible. They make us rest in God alone, not what we can do or achieve for God, but what God does and achieves for us. In our pain and loss, we often long for God's presence. We want to know that God is for us and with us and in us. Great families, financial wealth, and good health are all wonderful gifts from God, and we can thank God for them, but they're not his greatest blessing. They may make us delight in not in God, but in God's gifts. God's greatest blessing to us, his greatest gift to us, as I've been telling my kids as we prepare for Christmas and the rush of gifts, his greatest gift is a gift of his son, Jesus. When we have Christ and know Christ, we are truly blessed. So now let's spend some time together in prayer. I found a prayer that reflects the Beatitudes, and I paired it with some pictures. So this is a prayer I invite you to do with your eyes open if you'd like to look at the pictures and reflect. So we'll go through them and give thanks to God for how he changes us and blesses us through our trials. God, our Creator, thank you for the gift of Jesus. He walked among us, embodying your creative and life-giving word. In his life, his words, his deeds, his sufferings, his death, and his resurrection. When we see him loving the outcast, forgiving the sinner, confronting the hypocrite, and teaching the crowds a new way of life, we see your heart, your compassion, and your mercy. To know Jesus is to love him. And to know and love him is to know and love you. So help me, Lord, to be among your disciples who come to you to be taught. Help me, Lord, to be among the poor in spirit, to see and know that your kingdom is here even now. Help me, Lord, to be among those who mourn, to join you in your sadness for all that's wrong and broken in this world, and in joining you to find true comfort. Help me, Lord, to be among the meek, those who find strength in weakness and power in vulnerability, to never fear poverty or want, because when I have your love, I have the world. Help me, Lord, to desire justice, rightness, goodness, and integrity more than I hunger for food or thirst for water, and so let me find the truest fulfillment and satisfaction. Help me, Lord, to be among the merciful. Help me to be a true friend to those who are hated, misunderstood, rejected, excluded, disregarded, just as you, God of mercy, are. When others fail, and when they fail me, help me to show the same mercy you show to those who fail you, those who include me. Help me, Lord, to be among the pure in heart. May your pure light shine in my heart and dispel every shadow, every layer and fold that conceals or pretends. Since it is only the heart that sees you, remove from my heart everything that keeps me from seeing you. Help me, Lord, to be among the makers of peace. Many build walls, many sow fear and distrust, many spread rumors, many inflame conflict and profit from it. Help me to be even among them an agent and messenger of your peace and reconciliation, and help me so to bear your likeness, God of peace. Help me, Lord, not to fear being among the persecuted, but rather to rejoice in having the honor of standing for your restorative justice and rightness, so that I will see that your kingdom is my home even now. Help me, Lord, to be among those who suffer wrong well and with grace. Help me not to resent it, not to fear it, not to seek to escape it. Instead, help me to find joy in it. When others insult me, make my life more difficult, or falsely trash me because of you, help me to see through the momentary trouble to the lasting and weighty reward, for your kingdom comes by suffering, rather than by making others suffer. So help me, Lord, to be among your disciples who come to you to be taught. I am a broken sinner and beginner, far from these realities, but this is where I want to go. In your mercy, lead me in this path and open my eyes to see your true and lasting blessings through Christ. Amen. Every week we close worship with this blessing, and as we hear it in the weeks to come, may we remember that the Lord is with us, blessing us, shining his face and his light on us in our times of happiness and in our times of trial. And through God's blessings, whether they're easy or tough, may we know God's peace. Amen.